Tonight on This Is Happening America, updates from the winner and loser of the U.S. election, the countdown to that holiday that happens on the 25th of December you're not allowed to be merry about, more local news, and a pick from the growing basket of deplorables.
I'm Mark Betancourt.
I'm Justin Mara.
It's 106 miles to New Haven, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
All right. This is Happening America. Welcome to our fourth podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Justin.
And I'm not kidding. I am actually wearing sunglasses.
Mark actually got up in the middle of the theme song and went and got his sunglasses. He is wearing them.
Yeah. Well, it's very bright in here.
So we're a little punchy at this point. We had some serious technical difficulties in getting this.
Serious technical issues.
Oh, my goodness.
Justin almost lost his thumb.
I did, actually. Yeah. The tip of my thumb is gone. I put it back on. It's okay.
Yeah, we're bleeding for you, America. That's what's happening right now. How have you been, Justin, besides Thumbgate?
December's been pretty rough, Mark.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's too... Well, what's going on, buddy?
So I cut the tip of my thumb off.
Yeah, I see that. Well, I'm glad it's back
on
together
Sunday.
Again.
Yep, I stopped the bleeding.
Yep.
Well, first I screamed a lot. I woke up Elise.
Fair enough.
Then she screamed. And then we calmed down. We stopped the bleeding. Then we put the tip of the thumb back on and some liquid stitch.
And it worked?
Yeah, it instead of missing, it just looks like a very deep cut now.
Oh, so you fixed it without a doctor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What did you stay in a Holiday Inn the other day?
No, but
Dr. Mara is in the
but
house.
I have done some wilderness first aid training.
Oh, perfect. Well, yeah. Good for you.
What else
good.
Is going on?
All right.
It's the college crunch for a high school teacher with college recommendations and essays and all that
I hear
stuff.
That.
Mark, it was recently brought to my attention that this is our fourth episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
I went back and listened to all three episodes. I never ask you how you're doing afterwards, and I just want to apologize.
Really?
Yeah, total jerk move.
You never ask me how I am?
I never respond back and ask you how you're doing and what's new with you.
Wow, that's really, you know, I mean,
moving on, man. Moving on. Mark, how are you, Mark?
I'm fine. It's all good. No, I mean, I've had a busy December myself. Actually, recently, I just helped a local children's theater, the Neverland Children's Theater, located in the East Bay of Rhode Island. We just put on our Christmas musical called The Neverland Express. It was a huge success. So, congratulations to all the little K through 5. Graders who made that play possible, and all the moms and dads who built the sets and were backstage and dealt with all of their board of directors' craziness. Thank you very much. It was a huge success, and we look forward to doing another amazing spring musical that I have to figure out.
Your work never ends, man.
No, we just keep on working. We keep on working until that fateful day. So what's the deal? Are we allowed to say like Christmas? Is that a thing?
I think.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's this funny thing between it's like everyone's like, oh, it's Bill. You can't say Merry Christmas. You got to say Happy Holidays.
You're talking about the war on Christmas. I'm giving air quotes right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not that I don't have anything against all those other holidays. It's just, you know, the phrase is Merry Christmas. I'll say Happy Hanukkah
Or
too.
Happy Hanukkah. Yeah.
Or Happy Kwanzaa. Or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you know, Happy New Year.
Or Happy New Year.
Whatever,
yeah.
You know, whatever you observe.
Yeah, whatever it is. But it's just, you know, Merry Christmas. And of course, we're counting down until Christmas.
We are.
Yeah.
And, you know, before we get to that, because I have something on that too, my new pet peeve.
Uh-oh.
But I think we have this, like, the new, like, cultural zeitgeist is to preemptively be sensitive to the other person's belief system. And it's like, so like the happy holiday thing, which I have no problem with. Like, I say that all the time. Like,
yeah, hey, whatever. I wish you a happy holiday.
But it's like,
too,
but we're preempting the other person being offended.
Yeah.
And like, well, oh, I don't celebrate this. So it's like, if someone says like, happy, like Merry Christmas to me, and I don't celebrate Christmas, like, oh, like I'm Jewish. Happy Hanukkah. I celebrate Christmas. Like, oh, and you know, someone says Merry Christmas to you, and you don't celebrate Christmas. You say like Happy Kwanzaa back to them.
Yeah,
it's like we exchange. It's cool.
Or if you say Happy Hanukkah to me, and I tell you I'm not Jewish, I celebrate Christmas. Like,
Merry Christmas. Sorry, man. Christmas.
It's a term. It's a bloody term of endearment, is what it is.
Right.
Yeah. That's all. I mean, it's just wishing you well.
Happy Festivus.
Yeah. Happy Festivus. Those of you having Festivus parties this weekend, be very careful. And
Festivus for the rest of us.
Yep. And may you not let your may you avoid having your silver pole go through your windshield, and don't lose the airing of grievances.
A festive Krampus to you.
There indeed.
My new pet peeve, the countdown to Christmas.
The countdown to Christmas.
I'm getting all of these emails from, you know, XYZ internet sale, counting down the 12 days to Christmas, Christmas.
Yeah, those are all the ads that you get that Google says, oh, why did you dismiss the ads? Why? Because they're annoying.
They're annoying. And they're incorrect. The 12 days of Christmas isn't the last day of the 12 days of Christmas. It's the first. It's the first day of Christmas. And you know, like, whatever. Like, 12 years of Catholic school here. Like, Christmas is the first day of Christmas, not the last day of Christmas. Get it, like, just get it right. Read a book. Read a book, America.
See, this is news to me, too, because, see, for me, growing up, like, Christmas was Christmas. There was no 12 days of Christmas.
Well, it's
one day.
It is one day, but it's
one day.
It's like the...
The baby was not born 12 times.
No. I thought that's what we were celebrating. Each day. What?
This is news to me. Each day a new savior was born?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And we...
12 years of Catholic school, man. I can't be wrong.
Oh, fair enough.
No, okay. But in all seriousness, you're not counting down to Christmas. You're counting from Christmas down to January 6th, which is the 12th day of Christmas.
Why 12 days?
It's the high celebration of the Catholic calendar.
Is there any correlation to you being upset about the 12 days of Christmas with your 12 years of Catholic school?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Fair enough.
I am upset that I have to know that, and more enraged that nobody else does. All right. Okay. So before we get into our topic for this week, we wanted to go back and update you on some of the things that we've already talked about, said we would get that information and have not done that until now. So these are the episode 4 updates, episodes from the past. Mark, do you want to talk a little bit about what's going on with Dakota Access Pipeline?
Well, we kind of had great news, and then we had not so great news.
Right.
The Dakota Access Pipeline, the Army Corps of Engineers decided to not approve the last bit of the Dakota Access Pipeline building that was that caused a gigantic protest at Standing Rock.
Yeah, so with Native Americans. Easement onto the Standing Rock Reservation was denied.
Exactly. I would also I'd like to believe that it's also because the 2,000 Army veterans that showed up on December 5th pretty much called out the Army Corps of Engineers bluff and said, okay, well, let's, you know, and I gotta believe that while they say that President Obama and his administration didn't have anything to do with the easement and that the Army Corps of Engineers just decided to finally do it, I gotta believe that somewhere in the backs of some sensible person's mind said, hey, you know what's not going to be a good thing come the holiday season? A bunch of video and photos of security guards beating down U.S. Army vets.
The, you know, even more of an outrage than conservative America had with the White House Christmas card, the White House not being in it, would have been more upset with 2,000 frozen veterans on the plains of Standing Rock Reservation.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't have been a good idea.
Yeah, don't put that on a Christmas card.
No, that would be a terrible Christmas card. That would not be a happy holiday card. So, anyways, so that's victory, right? However, the plot thickens.
Wait for it.
The plot thickens. So, of course, the Army Corps of Engineers is upset about this because they want the pipeline. So they just decided, we're going to do it anyway.
Wait, the Army Corps of Engineers is going to do it anyway?
No, sorry, the pipeline.
Oh, Transfer Energy.
Transfer
Partners.
Energy. Yeah. Okay. So their CEOs came out and said, "Yeah, we kind of disagree with the Army Corps of Engineers. We've had enough of this, and you can't stop this pipeline."
Transfer Energy, aka Donald Trump, Rick Perry, Sunoco.
Yeah,
and a couple other people.
Putin. Yeah. So all those people. That are
Putin advisors, because Putin doesn't actually have his name on anything.
Right. Although we'd
right.
Wait for that too.
Right.
But yeah. So in other words, this game is not over. And as a matter of fact, despite the cooling temperatures and the snow hitting the North Dakota plains at Standing Rock, the Indian Reservation, the protest camp has not broken yet.
Right.
They're still sticking it out.
Right.
Because
they're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere, and this story is not going anywhere, because you gotta believe that come Inauguration Day, when Mr. Trump becomes our president, that's all gonna ratchet back up. So
and friend of the show, Braveheart16, did write into us on Facebook, and the appropriate thing would be to call the tribe by its name.
The Sioux tribe. Oh,
fair enough. And any other tribe that is there. And I'm embarrassed to say that off the top of my head, can't call any other out. So the Lakota and Dakota Sioux on the Standing Rock Reservation.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that clarification. Now we know.
Now we know.
See, you can learn. You can actually learn on.
You can learn things,
America. You can learn
from listening to podcasts. You never know it, right?
But that's not the only pipeline news we got going on, Justin, is it?
No, it is not. In last episode, I had referenced a pipeline on. Last episode was December 1st, and I said about a month ago there was a pipeline rupture from Transit Energy Partners. I could not call that. I did find it. It was the Colonial Pipeline that ruptured in Alabama on November 1st, and recently, within the last week, the Belle Fourche Pipeline in North Dakota also ruptured, spilling about 176,000 gallons of crude oil into the Missouri River.
Oh, you know, the funny thing, the Missouri River, and
that would be the river that the water protectors on Standing Rock, veterans and
are protesting.
Yeah, yes.
and the creek itself is about a couple hours away from the actual Standing Rock Reservation, about 150 miles away.
Right.
So, what are they protesting for again? I believe
it was protection of Missouri River water access rights,
because
drinking and irrigation water.
Because pipelines burst, right?
Because pipelines burst, yes.
And the pipeline saying that this is a really great pipeline that they've spent years researching, and it's state of the art, and it's all going to be good, right?
Right. Nothing could go wrong,
especially 90 feet underneath the Missouri River.
Right.
Well, we're over the 1.5 mark since the controversial U.S. election happened.
And it's still controversial.
Oh, and it's not going to stop being controversial. I mean, there's plenty of stuff going around as far as Russia hacking, recounts from the Green Party, and all of the things that Donald Trump is doing that's making everybody just kind of go, what?
Yeah, where are we in the recount?
Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
Right.
I believe the Wisconsin one actually got approved.
Okay.
The Michigan and Pennsylvania ones got denied.
They didn't meet the deadline.
They either didn't meet the deadline, or I'm pretty sure somebody somewhere just said no. Because, I mean, first of all, it's kind of amusing that somebody who didn't even get 2% of the popular vote is the person petitioning for a recount.
That is true.
Second of all, listen, you know, we're going to talk about this in a little bit as far as the whole, you know, Russian invasion of our U.S. of the election and hacking and emails and all of that stuff. But really, and of course, all of the craziness that's happening with Trump and his elected officials and people riding up the golden elevator to Trump Tower to meet with our new czar.
Okay, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. But the first thing I want to bring up is, you know, what happened to Hillary?
Where in the world is Hillary Clinton?
Where did Hillary Clinton go?
Could Hillary Clinton please stand up?
Please stand up.
Please stand up.
I mean, you've been an absolute news magnet for the majority of your adult life. And after this complete twist of events, after everything that most people the majority of people thought was going to happen, because you're up on the popular vote by 2.7 million people. Meaning this is what was going to happen, Hillary. You were going to be the president of the United States. You were going to be the first woman president. At least that's what everybody in New York and California thought. And you just disappear? You just vanish? Where'd she go?
Maybe she has become one with the Force and is guiding the Chosen One on their journey to return at a later date.
That's a good theory.
Perhaps she has become more powerful than even Trump could imagine.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know what to do with that. except all I'm picturing is Trump sitting there on his phone after he hears our podcast somehow, some way, trying to figure out how to tweet.
But if you do tweet something controversial, and you know, I apologize for everyone that Mark just destroyed the speakers on their computer and in their automobiles.
No, that wasn't me. That was Trump.
Anyway, if you tweet at him something controversial, he will respond to you.
Yes, know that.
He will respond to you.
At 4 in the morning, and he's going to do it at 4 in the morning.
He is.
Because what's going to happen is you're going to forget to turn your phone off. You know, you're gonna forget to turn it on silent, and all of a sudden you're gonna wake up to a tweet, and it's gonna be Donald Trump calling you out.
So, fans of the show, when you tweet at Donald Trump, make sure you say something extra controversial and hashtag This Is Happening America, or you know, include at @TIH_America in your tweet. Show some Twitter love.
Yeah, don't use TIH-America, because that's somebody else who...
Give it to us. You haven't tweeted since 2014.
You haven't tweeted since 2014. Give it up, dude.
You can't have it.
You can have ours. We'll trade you.
We'll trade you. No take backs.
It's just easier. Anyway, maybe he's with Hillary Clinton.
Maybe.
But no, there has been some sightings of the former first lady, former senator, former presidential hopeful.
What's your favorite Hillary sighting, Mark?
Well, of course, there's the one that came out of the hiker who randomly ran into Hillary Clinton in the woods.
More air quotes
to take
randomly.
A selfie. Because, you know, as we all know, and as we've known for all these years, Hillary is an avid hiker. Who loves the woods.
There are two things that I plan for when I go into the woods. One of them is not running into Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're just not going to do it. I don't care if you find a patchy wood. I don't care if you find the Shire in Washington, D.C. She ain't going to be there.
I plan on finding Bigfoot in the woods. Before Hillary Clinton.
Or I mean, a pantsuit. I'd find a pantsuit first from somebody else. But my
where goodness. Is this going, Mark?
Well, where this is going is is I just can't believe that Hillary Clinton is a hiker.
Total media blackout. Yeah.
Yeah. And absolutely staged.
Other than this in the wonderfully endearing story.
Yeah.
And I don't doubt that it happened, but I do doubt the randomness of it.
Yes, I absolutely doubt the randomness, because as we all know, or actually what's not being reported that we want everybody to know is actually where in the world Hillary is.
And where has she been?
Yeah. Do you know where she's been, Justin?
I don't.
Oh, well, let me tell you.
Okay.
Sources have now broken a news story about Secret Service.
Does she still get Secret Service?
Well, she's a former first lady, and okay. she's married to a
former president. Okay,
so they still get Secret Service.
Right. I should know.
But no, vacationers at a local beach resort in the Caribbean, which I have to keep nameless to protect Bill and Hillary, but were recently stopped by Secret Service and says you can go no further on the beach. You got to turn around, whatever. And people are just like, whoa, what's going on? All of a sudden, there, off in the distance, is Bigfoot. No, I'm kidding. It's Hillary Clinton. Seriously? On the beaches with a coconut, probably with a Mai Tai in it. I'm speculating that part, but she went on vacation, bro. She's so chilling.
You're telling me that Bill and Hillary were you know, they're out there, the people jogging on the beach. You can go no further, and there's Bill and Hillary on the beaches of St. John. Ooh, sorry, wasn't supposed to say that. I didn't say anything.
Beaches of the Caribbean.
You heard nothing.
Yeah, yeah. She's on the beaches. And I'm not talking about the beaches that she's on with Idina Menzel for that Lifetime remake that they've started to peddle so that they could get Idina Menzel to sing Wind Beneath My Wings so she can win another Grammy.
I imagine Bill's totally in favor of exotic vacations.
Wow, of course. Bill's totally in favor of the idea of the two vacationing in an exotic beach so that Hillary can relax and chill and get over the, you know, all of the pressure and everything and de-stress. And he can continue to work on his diplomatic relations.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
The Clinton Foundation gets a win. Clintons get a win.
The Clintons get to use more money from the Clinton Foundation. And let's be honest. Hillary needs a break.
She does.
And I can honestly, I say good for you, Hillary. Take all the time you need. Relax on the beach. Have a couple of Mai Tais because you know what? We did you wrong.
But that's not to be matched with, what's happening at Trump Tower. It's like the polar opposite. So Hillary's in the wind.
Yeah. So
Donald Trump can't get enough airtime.
Yeah. So when we said we were going to talk about the winners and losers of the U.S. election, it was kind of double because, yeah, Hillary lost the election, but she is winning right now, kicking back, while the winner, President-elect Trump.
The revolving door of Trump Tower.
The revolving door.
It's getting a lot of use.
It's getting so much use. As a matter of fact, New Yorkers are petitioning that
Mayor de Blasio.
Petitioning the federal government to pay I believe it's in excess of $22 million at this point to protect President-elect Trump.
And or seize Trump Tower under eminent domain.
Yes.
And ask Mr. Trump to leave.
Yeah, which of course...
Which I would love to see, but it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's his, you know, business conflict of interest. There's nothing to see here.
No,
not at all.
But you may have been up on this, Mark, with the cabinet positions and advisor level positions that President-elect Trump has been making over the last couple weeks.
Oh, he's making some doozies.
Yeah. You might have seen recently that he had a meeting with Kanye West recently
fresh out of the hospital, yep. Feeling a little bit better, a little rested.
Yeah, well, the media
hasn't been on a rant lately.
No, he hasn't. He seems to be cured.
That's great.
Yeah.
More yay yay.
But the mainstream media has been focused on his choices for Secretary of Energy and Secretary of State that we completely missed this meeting with Kanye. Kanye West is actually going to be Secretary of Multicultural Relations in the Trump administration.
Oh, well, I mean, I can't think of a better person to speak on behalf of the American people Kanye West.
He's just a guy that's known for spreading goodwill and cheer.
Absolutely. And I mean,
bringing people together.
Yeah, that's what he does. And this is also probably the start to Kanye's long talked about political career.
His 2020 presidential bid.
Well, this is a step in the right direction. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's apparently going to be the anointed successor.
Good for Kanye. I'm glad to see something good happening to Kanye for once. That's nice.
The great black Republican hope, Kanye West, 2020.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. But you know, you're talking about Kanye West. I also want to point out a couple other of Donald Trump's President-elect Trump's.
There you go.
Yep. Sorry.
Getting used to it.
I know. It doesn't roll off the tongue that well.
It'll get there.
Yeah. But he's got a couple other secretarial positions that he's also just nominated. So special advisor to the President's Council on Physical Fitness. You know, this is I especially like this move because it's kind of a step. It's kind of a way for the Trump administration to kind of put forth an olive branch to the Obama administration with all the great work that First Lady Michelle Obama did with the Let's Move campaign.
Right.
So we have
this is a famous position. I remember when we were in school, it was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
So who did Trump get?
Chris Christie.
No. I mean, seriously, who'd he get?
No, he got Chris Christie. I mean, what do you think? What do you think? Chris Christie, you know, stepped down from the presidential campaign. Why do you think he dropped out of the race?
Because
Donald Trump made a deal with him say, "Hey, listen, Chris, drop out of the race now. I'll make sure you get a cabinet spot on the physical fitness." Because, and this is according to my sources, Chris Christie, one of his main objectives is to actually get dodgeball back into the curriculums of physical fitness, of physical education in the schools. Because as we all know, famously, the public school system has been taking dodgeball out of the curriculum lately because they think that it's, you know, it's not building self-esteem for children. And it's, you know, it doesn't promote inclusiveness. It's much more exclusive. It can get very violent. Those balls hurt.
Get ready to dodge.
Get ready
to dive. Dip.
Duck.
And dodge.
Yep. Chris Christie.
Okay. I missed the Christie announcement, but you may have seen in the news recently, President Trump is kind of in a feud with the CIA.
Oh, yeah.
Over the Russian hacking and whether their information is trustworthy.
Yeah, I mean, President-elect Trump doesn't need Central Intelligence. He is, in fact, intelligent.
Well, this just happened. Trump has just asked the director of the CIA to step down, and he's named a replacement.
Oh, okay, yeah. I kind of saw this coming. Who did he get?
President-elect Trump has named Chuck Norris as the new head of the CIA.
Oh, Texas is gonna love that.
Yeah. Who better? Walker, Texas Ranger.
I mean, Chuck Norris, you know, I mean, the guy, I mean, nobody knows more about self-defense than Chuck Norris.
Mr. Missing in Action himself.
Yeah. I mean, he's just always, every time he would speak on Walker, Texas Ranger, I just got more intelligent.
You know, that no one wears a beard quite like him.
I mean, nobody can do anything quite like him.
So,
all right, so
truth be told,
yeah. So here's the deal.
Here's Ashton Kutcher with you've just been punked.
Oh, I thought you were just gonna make me do an Ashton Kutcher impression. I can't do that.
No, it's okay.
But I do want to congratulate him and Mila Kunis on their latest baby boy being born.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah,
good for them.
Yeah, you know.
But no, in all seriousness, every one of these stories we just told you about was false.
Yes, completely false. In case you couldn't figure that out for yourself.
And our real topic this week is fake news.
Yes, because
in 2016.
Yes, because I guarantee you there are some of you out there that were listening to some of that stuff actually going, "Wait, really? Huh.
Christie? Really? Chuck Norris?
Yeah. Hillary? Mai Tais? Bill? Diplomatic relations?"
Well, that could be true.
That
could be true.
That probably is true. But no, fake news has been a huge problem, especially with the birth of social media and with how easy it is now with all of these different tools, with your Adobe products, all of your Photoshopping products, you know, just making podcasts like we're doing right now.
Right.
It's so easy to spread messages. And if you can do it professionally, like the professionals do it, who's not to believe you?
Right. One story that I saw out there was a news farm that's basically a bunch of college guys sitting in their dorm room or the basement of this house that they rent. And they just think of ridiculous things that Donald Trump could possibly do or say, or ridiculous things happening in the world. And they hop on a computer, they write a story, they upload it to social media, and they get something like 30,000 clicks in an hour.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, it's crazy because everybody's, you know, you read a news article and there's so much information on the internet today that people have a hard time deciphering it and understanding what's real, what's not. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, there was Pizzagate.
Right.
Yeah. For those that don't know, a local pizza shop. I believe there was one in Washington, D.C.
Well, it goes back to the Hillary Clinton email scandal.
Yeah, it goes to the whole WikiLeaks.
Right.
Right.
So conservatives looking for a conspiracy kind of created one.
Right. Well, in any case, the whole controversy was that they were actually holding a secret child pornography ring in and out of these local pizzerias. There was one in Washington, D.C., and I believe there was also one in Texas, and that just a ridiculous story that is, by the way, just for the record, it's been proven false.
100% false, but ended in someone traveling to Washington, D.C., storming this pizzeria and looking for the trapped children that were being abused inside.
Yes, and has led to all the workers and the owner of the pizzeria being harassed, verbally abused, sending, you know, death threats and evil messages, which it's always interesting to me how when you hear that something evil like that's going on, your first instinct is to call them up and say, I'm going to effing kill you. I don't really get how that works.
I don't know, man.
But it's just always been interesting to me that as soon as something controversial goes, somebody gets death threats.
Yeah, and the fake news phenomenon of 2016 has been so damaging. This was the purpose of news media. This is why there's a nightly news. This is why we had newspapers, because we were vetting information.
Right, you know, exactly.
Nothing went to print without confirming past two or more independent sources. If you couldn't vet it through two independent sources, you couldn't print the story.
The media actually used to tell the truth.
To an extent.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You're always going to have opinion columns. You're always going to have spin to a story. But that's why you don't just read from one conservative newspaper.
Right.
You read
or one liberal newspaper.
No, you read several sources and you make the conclusion and you look at what the actual facts are and you make the conclusion and you come to the conclusion yourself.
Right. And the real damaging thing here is that it wasn't just you and I that got punked and all of America, like reading this stuff and viewing this stuff. It was mainstream credible media like CNN, Fox, MSNBC, the Washington Journal, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. Like
we
all got suckered into these stories.
Yeah. I actually heard a really great, soundbite from one of my favorite actors, Denzel Washington. And somebody asked him about fake news and he made the great statement of saying, you know, everybody in the news media and everybody in media, social media in general, the situation that we're in, the environment that we've grown and built with social media, everybody wants to be first. You've got to be first. You've got to break the story first. Well, in order to do that, sometimes you got to cut corners and you can't always get all the facts straight. You know, everybody wants to be first. Everybody wants to get their name out there so that they're the ones that go viral. They're the ones that get the kickbacks and get the points and get this and that and everything else and all the acclaim to the story. But, you know, just because you're first doesn't mean you get the story right. It also means if you got the story wrong, now you're going to lose your credibility as a journalist and as a news media outlet, and it's actually going to hurt you more in the long run than the short-term satisfaction of getting that story out first. So it's a really interesting phenomenon, especially when we've built up for years this idea of social media and Facebook and the internet being this information, this collective of information that we can pass along to everybody. And what it's actually doing is backfiring on us at the moment. And we're not while we all think we're informed, we're actually informed with a bunch of misinformation. And we're making decisions based off of that that are going to impact us in the long run.
All right. So there's a problem with fake news out there, but we're gonna do a little experiment right here. So Mark, MarketWatch and CNN have put together a news quiz to see if you can pick out the fake news story in the the real fake news story in a sea of other news stories. And we invite you all to play along, and we will pause after each response.
Are you giving me a test on our podcast?
I'm giving you an on-air quiz on the podcast, but I'm also taking it.
Okay.
I have not looked at the responses.
How do I know you haven't looked at the response?
Well, you'll just have to take me at my word, Mark.
It better be that 12 years of Catholic school staking me and you.
All right. So All right. these are... We're going to, so these are culled from real fake news stories that outperformed real news stories on traditional and social media news sources.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So embedded in these four choices is one fake news story.
Is one real fake news story.
Yes. Okay. So they're all fake, but one in each question was a fake news story.
That was
actually reported as a real story and outperformed real news.
Okay.
So let's see if we can pick them out.
Gotcha.
All right. So this is question one. There are seven questions. All right. And you feel free to play along at home. Okay. All of these stories are fake, but only one got shared hundreds of thousands of times on Facebook. Here are your four choices. A, New Testament passages foretold the Brexit vote. B, the Vatican invites Sarah Palin to lead mass on Christmas Eve. C, Pope Francis shocks the world and endorses Donald Trump. Or D, Hillary Clinton drinks blood at a satanic ritual.
I kind of want D to be the...
I also want D to be real. Are we going with D?
No.
Okay.
Let's see. Option B, that just can't happen.
Right.
I would go with option C.
C, Pope Francis shocks the world and endorses Trump.
I think somebody could have written that as a fake news story and hundreds of thousands of people would have clicked on it and believed it.
Okay. I also say C, Mark.
Yeah.
All right. And we would be correct.
Hey, all right.
So this is the real fake news story. People bought into it. 96,000 clicks. Sorry, 96 million clicks on that story.
Oh, million with 96, an M.
96 million clicks.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, that's kind of under 96,000 would be kind of underwhelming. I would imagine would be 96 million people going, wait, what?
I'm a English and history guy.
Yeah, that's ELA
history. Sorry, not a number guy. 96 million clicks on that story. All right, here's the second one.
Yeah.
Three of these headlines were made up. One is an actual viral fake news story from Facebook.
Okay.
Okay. Choice A. Caught on camera, Hannity, Kelly, O'Reilly, love triangle. B, Fox fires Megyn Kelly for endorsing Hillary Clinton and angering Donald Trump. C, CNN issues a memo forbidding staff from voting for Donald Trump. Or D, aliens take control of MSNBC and eat Keith Olbermann.
I want D to happen.
I'm gonna go with C, CNN issuing a memo forbidding staff for voting for Donald Trump.
I'm gonna go with B.
B, Fox fires Megyn Kelly for endorsing Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll give you guys listening at home.
It's not because I don't like Megyn Kelly.
There was a lot of controversy around that.
There was a lot of controversy.
And the haircut, I can see where like the haircut and the Trump anger and everything could have been strung together with that.
Yeah.
All right. So you're going with B. I'm going with C.
Right.
Mark, point to Mark. You're one ahead of me right now. This is what went viral, and Megyn Kelly's name appeared as one of the top trending topics on Facebook and Twitter as a result.
Yep.
All right, you're one up on me.
Woohoo!
Okay.
Question three.
Which of these is the real fake news story? Choice A, Glenn Beck carjacks vehicle delivering Girl Scout cookies.
True.
B, Rush Limbaugh facilitates deal to arm ISIS operatives. C, Michael Moore donates private jet to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Michael Moore doesn't have a private jet.
I bet Michael Moore does have a private jet.
That would really go against his sudden strike of environmental things.
I bet
things.
He does. And D, Ireland accepts American refugees after Trump win.
Okay.
So just those again.
Yep.
We had a little breakdown in the middle. Glenn Beck steals a car that was delivering Girl Scout cookies. Rush Limbaugh facilitates a deal to arm ISIS operatives. Michael Moore donates private jet to Leonardo DiCaprio, and Ireland accepting American refugees. Which do you think is the real fake news story, Mark?
I'm going to go with D.
Ireland accepting American refugees.
Yep.
I am also going to go with D. Those of you at home, final answer. Here we go. And we would both be correct.
Hey, hey.
This went viral, but Ireland has not changed its immigration policy.
Nor should they.
Right.
Nor should any country.
Okay, which one's the fake here? Choice A. Barack Obama scrubs his entire Twitter account of all endorsements of Hillary Clinton. B. Donald Trump can tweet with his mind. C. Mike Huckabee has a 200-day Snapchat streak with Cher. Or D. Mitt Romney, no longer in the running for Secretary of State, joins controversial Furby fan club on Facebook.
Okay, well, I mean, they got to try a little harder with D. Come on. Right. I'm going to go with A.
A, Barack Obama can scrub his entire scrubs his entire Twitter account of all endorsements of Hillary Clinton.
You know why I say A?
Why?
Because I think I actually clicked on this article.
I'm also going to go with A. And we would both be correct.
By the way, going back to that other question, if Leonardo DiCaprio is so enamored with the environment, why is he flying in a private jet?
Yes. Okay. I'm right there with you.
Bueller? Okay. I'm just putting that out there.
Would the real Slim Shadys please stand up?
Okay.
All right. I think we're going to get this one.
I just have to put that out there. All right.
We already talked about this. All right. Which is the real fake headline? Hillary Clinton runs a child abuse ring out of a pizzeria.
Oh.
95% of those who eat pizza with a fork will die from cancer. Newt Gingrich eats Domino's pizza every day for breakfast. Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin meet for dinner at Il Molino, share spaghetti like the dogs and Lady and the Tramp.
See, if you...
We already talked about this one.
Well, yeah, we already talked about it, but it's like... But this is a good lesson. It's like, see, if you just left it as Trump and Putin meet for dinner...
Right.
Boom!
Right. I didn't create the headlines.
No, I know.
I didn't create them.
I'm just saying whoever created the headlines.
Right. Is Hillary Clinton running child abuse ring out of a pizzeria?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we did talk about that. Pizzagate spread like wildfire on the internet. And a man did actually wind up storming a pizzeria in DC and firing shots as a result.
There you go, viewers. If you were listening to this a couple minutes ago, we will give you one.
All right. Question six. Okay, again, which is the real fake news story? The answer to this question got 100,000 shares and comments.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Kellyanne Conway will deliver keynote at Davos. Davos? Okay. Davos? Davos?
Davos?
Okay. Edward Snowden considered for Secretary of the Interior, President-elect Trump.
Okay.
James Comey. Hosts Trump Pence sign in his yard during election. Donald Trump admits he doesn't have the best escalators in Trump Tower.
Okay.
And the question here is, which of these got 100,000 shares on Facebook?
See, I like A or B.
Kellyanne Conway will deliver keynote at Davos.
Uh-huh. Or B.
Ed Snowden considered for Secretary of the Interior.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with A.
Kellyanne Conway will deliver keynote at Davos.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with this James Comey story, director of the FBI.
Okay.
All right. You're A, I'm C. Those of you playing along at home, select your answer. Oh, Mark, we are now tied.
Ah!
It was James Comey. And yes, there was a Trump sign in front of Comey's house, but Comey hasn't lived at that address for over 7 years. So it was his house, but it wasn't. The implication being James Comey put the sign there.
Oh.
FBI Director Comey no longer lives there.
So that's some actually well-researched fake news.
That is some well-researched fake news. All right, final question. We're tied. See, I wonder how you those of you playing along at home are doing. Right into the show. Let us know. This is happening at America. This is happening America at gmail.com. You can tweet us TIH_America.
Don't do TIH-America.
That guy, he won't answer you. Facebook.com/ This is happening America. Final question. You ready? You ready, Mark?
I'm ready. Do it.
All right. All of these are fake, but only one made the list of the top five fake news stories just before election night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A, Bill Clinton to play sax at Trump inauguration. B, FBI agent suspected in Hillary Clinton email leaks found dead in apartment murder-suicide. C, Rosie O'Donnell looks past their feud and votes for Trump. Or D, Melania Trump breaks from family, vowing only to eat meat that she slaughters herself.
Definitely B.
B, FBI agent suspected in Hillary Clinton email leaks found dead in apartment murder-suicide. I'm torn between B and C. Rosie O'Donnell looks past their feud and votes for Trump.
There's not a chance.
Fake news stories.
I know.
I'm gonna also go with B.
You know, but here's what I will say. That would be such a ludicrous headline for me to read.
You'd click on it.
You'd click on it.
I would also click on it. I'm gonna go with the FBI agent murder suicide. I feel like the New York Times might have run this.
Yeah, that's why I'm sticking with it, because I'm pretty sure I remember this being run.
Right. I want to say Washington Post or maybe New York Times.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was like CNN, which is
controversial is that? Like, how shady is that? That's playing into the whole criminal crooked Hillary.
Right.
Backdoor conspiracy theory thing.
Right. FBI out to get her.
Yeah. FBI scary. Ooh.
Right. You know. All right. So those of you playing along at home, lock in your answer. Mark, final answer B?
It's my final answer.
I'm also going to go final answer B. And we are both right. We tie this game, Mark.
We both went 6-7.
That post got 567,000 engagements on Facebook.
Yep. I believe it.
Craziness.
I'm surprised it wasn't 60 million.
Well,
there's probably 60 million people out there that would probably think that's true.
There probably are.
Yeah.
All right. Should we transition on over to news that's local somewhere?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we should.
All right.
Yep.
So, just like politics, all news is local somewhere, and so we have some local news stories coming to you from around the world. This first story is coming out of Texas. Good old Texas.
Love Texas.
Yeah.
You ever been to Texas, Justin?
I've never been to Texas. Have you, Mark?
I have been to Texas several times.
What are your thoughts on Texas?
I like Texas. I like the cities of Texas. I don't like the in-between of Texas.
Top five thoughts about Texas.
Driving across the panhandle to get to Amarillo and back sucks.
Okay.
El Paso, fun town, really close to the border and Juarez, Mexico. No joke, when you cross the border and go to Juarez, Mexico, you get hit by a swarm of gnats. That actually happened. I'm not making that up. Let's see, what else happens in Texas? It's always bigger in Texas. It's true. Austin is weird. And Texas girls are really cute.
Wow. Okay, there you have it.
There you go.
All right. So this surprisingly was not on your top five thoughts about Texas. But Texas will now require funeral services whenever a woman has an abortion. So in
why
indeed?
Is wrong with people?
This is part of Texas's continuing war on women, and I don't want to be controversial with that, but in recent years there have been a number of these just arcane decisions to come out of Texas Supreme Court.
That's also in lieu of there have been several states trying to pass laws and trying to be
since before President-elect Trump,
right? Since before that, but now that he's the president-elect,
emboldened.
Ohio just passed the heartbeat
bill, right.
Which thankfully Senator. Why am I?
I don't know. I had one of these earlier.
John Kasich. Thank you. It's late, folks.
Governor.
There you go. John Kasich vetoed the bill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. John Kasich.
That was nice of him.
You know, a Republican I probably could have voted for.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway. So funeral services whenever a woman has an abortion.
And I want to thank my research team, the West End Informer, which is a online newspaper run by my students in senior class at Trinity Academy for the Performing Arts. And you can find some of these stories there at westendinformer.weebly.com.
So now, question. Now that they require funeral services, what are the requirements of the funeral service?
Okay, so in June, anti-choice activists in Texas suffered a huge setback in their attempts to make abortion as miserable as possible when the Supreme Court overturned a series of medically unnecessary regulations that were enacted for no other reason than to make abortions as difficult as possible and as expensive as possible for women.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, but that was struck down and deemed unconstitutional. So this would seem to be in lieu of that to discourage women from getting abortions. So the idea is you can't outlaw them because the Supreme Court has upheld the woman's right of choice.
Right.
And so now we're going to make it as cumbersome, as offensive, as expensive as you could possibly make it. So shortly after the state lost that case, state health officials quietly proposed new rules requiring what amounts to funeral arrangements. So, I don't know what that background music is, but it keeps running on my computer.
we're having some weird technical issues tonight.
In this episode.
And we're not in Austin, but it's just weird right now.
It is. It won't stop. This is insane.
Focus, Justin, focus.
I'm trying, but our listeners are going to hear it on the backtrack. All right, sorry. Shortly after that decision was rendered, anytime a woman has an abortion, she is required by Texas state law to either have cremation or funeral services, and aborted fetuses or miscarriages can no longer be disposed of as medical waste.
Wow.
So I don't know. I the average funeral in America is between $6,000 and $12,000. I don't know what the equivalent is for,
infant. What's that going to be like? Like, are you going to have a wake and a funeral?
I don't know.
Are those 12 years of Catholic school going to come back to haunt you?
Not going to haunt me.
I just think that's ridiculous and strange. And by the way, folks, just in case you haven't noticed over listening to our past couple of podcasts, most of the time when Justin or I start giving, like, talking about a local news article we found, it's the first time the other one is hearing
about
it.
Yeah, we don't share these ahead of time because we want the real reaction.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, I did not catch that story, but I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. And I women should have complete and total control of their bodies. And let me be the first one to say, I'm not the one that wants to carry a living, growing person in my stomach. So, on behalf of,
fortunately, Mark, you don't have to worry about it.
Well, I'm very fortunate that I don't have to worry about it. I'm thankful that I don't have to worry about that, but I would like to send a special shout out to, Mom. Thanks for carrying me.
Hey, there you go.
Hey, turning it back around. Okay. So let's see.
Mark, what do you got for us?
What do I got? Well, this happened a little while ago, but, Justin, we were just talking about Texas. Have you ever been to the state of Florida?
I have.
You have been
a number
to Florida.
Of times.
All right. So
it's not one of my favorite places.
Give me five. things that come to the top of your mind when you think Florida.
Inappropriate, unprofessional TSA inspectors in the airports. Stinky swamps.
They don't smell good.
Gordy tacky resort hotel oasis places.
There are those there too.
Was that three or four?
That was three.
Disneyland. Disney World.
Disney World.
Stand corrected.
It's way better. Way better than Disneyland.
It's tough.
Well, you ever think about alligators when you were down in Florida?
I did actually.
Yeah.
Alligator. I saw one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Did you see it at a Wendy's drive-thru?
No.
And for those that heard, and for those that heard the third podcast, you know we talked about the last podcast about a robbery at a Wendy's. I don't know what's going on at Wendy's this year, but Wendy is having a bad year. So this is what happened in Florida. A Florida man drove through the Wendy's drive-thru and ordered a bunch of food. And when the worker came back to hand him the soda, the man threw a live alligator through the fast food drive-thru window.
No, I call fake news story on this one, Mark.
You call fake news story? They have video.
All right.
They have video of it. So anyway, we'll share the link with you so that you can check it out. And so anyways, the man was obviously arrested. The gator was not hurt. But supposedly he just wanted to play a prank on a friend at the restaurant. Instead, he got charged with a bunch of felonies, including assault with a deadly weapon, which I guess I guess an alligator would be a deadly weapon.
You know, I imagine fresh gator meat is pretty valuable. Maybe he was just trying to pay.
Yeah, or maybe he was sick and tired of Wendy's not offering up a gator burger and decided to throw one on the grill himself and missed. In either case, everything went to trial, and he told the judge that he was very sorry and regretted his actions, and nobody at the Wendy's was hurt. And thankfully, because the guy said he was sorry, basically nothing happened to him.
No jail time.
No jail time. He did get a year of probation, a $500 fine, 75 years hours of community service, and he's no longer allowed to go to the Wendy's.
Worth it.
Totally.
I'd do it.
Note to self. If you see Justin Mara pull up at the drive-thru window,
don't open it.
Don't open the door.
Don't open the door. You're getting an alligator.
You're getting an alligator. Where are you going to find an alligator?
Don't worry
here?
About it.
Okay. I'm actually kind of worried about
don't
it.
Don't worry about it.
All right. For the magical trifecta, Justin. What do you got for us?
All right. Here's a story out of the UK. All news is local somewhere, and it affects America. Okay. So Spotify is spying on its users and revealing their most embarrassing secrets on huge billboards.
Oh, that sucks.
Quote,
that's terrible.
This is a real billboard. Dear person who played Sorry 42 times on Valentine's Day, what did you do?
Oh, man.
We will probably never know, but whoever you are, wherever you are, we hope you got through it. So Spotify is airing out people's dirty laundry, and it's sharing their deepest, darkest secrets on giant billboards in prime locations all around the world.
Oh, man.
But they're not naming anyone.
Oh, okay.
These are anonymous billboards, but it's real user data. So the ad campaign is Spotify's biggest ever, and it's using the metadata that it's collected through the website to create pretty much the funniest viral ad campaign ever. Here's another one. Thanks 2016, it's been weird, Spotify, as it chimes off for the year. One user post reads in the UK, dear 3,749 people who streamed It's the End of the World as We Know It the day of the Brexit vote, hang in there.
All right. So this isn't as scary as you would initially think it would. This is actually kind of funny, but it definitely does raise the question about internet privacy and security.
It does. This raises a lot of questions about privacy and security. This is my favorite. Dear person who made a playlist called, and I'm not making this up, it's a real billboard, quote, one night stand with Jeb Bush like he's a Bond girl in a European casino, end quote. What? And I worked really hard to get through that without breaking. The end of that poster is, we have so many questions.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin with that. First of all, like, that's the wrong Bush to be a James Bond character. Second of all, you can't even read that playlist name on your playlist. Like, it's too long.
They have the user. This is the last one. Oh, and it's my favorite. I guess the last one was my favorite. This one's good too. Dear person in the theater district of New York who listened to Hamilton soundtrack 5,376 times this year, can you get us tickets?
Justin,
it's a Hamilton callback there.
Yeah, Justin. Yes.
Was that
that was me?
That was you.
That was me.
Okay, I thought so.
And I can't get you tickets. That's why I had to listen to the musical 5,000 times.
It's out there now. Can't take it back, Mark. It's out there on the internet.
I'd rather have that out than having my Jeb Bush playlist get published.
All right, Mark, what do you got for us?
All right. Well, speaking, you know, it's funny because I feel like a lot of these stories are always just about like horrible things that are happening to people. You know,
a lot of the
not
time.
Horrible things. I mean, a lot of the time it's embarrassing things. So today I decided to find a story that could have been terrible, but actually ended pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah. So Justin, have you ever accidentally stolen a car?
I have never accidentally stolen a car.
Never accidentally stolen
I've
a
never
car.
Never accidentally stolen a car.
Cool. We'll leave it at that. In Portland, Oregon.
I have also never stolen a car.
In Portland, Oregon.
My mother-in-law listens to this show. I've never stolen a car, Baba.
Okay, fair enough. Shout out to Baba.
Yeah.
So in Portland, Oregon, a woman accidentally stole somebody's car.
How do you accidentally steal a car, Mark?
Okay, here's how you accidentally steal a car. Okay. A friend asks you to have them pick up your car. It's a red Subaru.
Okay. All right, so it's late at night. I'm not in the best shape. I text you, Mark, I can't make it home.
Yeah.
My car is here. Can you pick it up for me in the morning?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So what happened was she got to around the address and saw the red Subaru. Cause it's like, it's not like, oh, not the exact address. It's parked on the street or whatever. Oh, okay. There's the red Subaru. So I go put in my key, get in the car. Okay. The people whose car was being stolen saw it happening and thought it was really strange that the person who was in their car was spending 2 or 3 minutes in there before taking off.
Okay.
I know what you're going to ask. I don't have that information.
Okay.
I was wondering the same thing.
Okay.
So anyways, they reported it to the police and the story, you know, I mean, it's definitely a weird story and you would think that it would just be a bad
is there a
robbery.
Happy ending to this story?
There is a happy ending to this story because, like, as the people are saying, we were really confused because it didn't seem like the normal actions of a car thief.
Right.
Come to find out, it wasn't, because the car was later returned.
So it wasn't stolen. It was borrowed.
But here's the best part. It was returned with a note and gas money.
Worst thief ever.
Seriously. The note reads, "Hello. So sorry I stole your car. I sent my friend with my key to pick up my red Subaru, and she came back with your car. I did not see the car until this morning, and I said, that is not my car. There is some cash for gas, and I more than apologize for the shock and upset this must have caused you."
Dude, where's my car?
Clearly, this was a math and science major.
Oh, my goodness.
"If you need to speak further with me, I am star, 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 star. And my number is star, 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 star. So, so sorry for this mistake. Turns out, here's a fun fact. Again, you're learning on This Is Happening America. An older model Subaru key sometimes works in different cars, according to police.
Oh my goodness. I'm pretty sure I just read a statistic like a couple months ago that the Subaru Imprezas are the most stolen car in the world. And I wonder if this is why.
Well, yeah, it's easy. All you need is a key to one of them. So, FYI, don't buy an older model red Subaru. By the way,
Subaru probably won't be sponsoring our show anytime soon.
Well, then no, but we've got other sponsors. And by the way, the punchline to that story is the woman's red Subaru who mistakenly got the wrong Subaru taken, blocked down the street.
I thought you were going to say it was stolen.
No, that would be amazing.
That would be a better end of the story. All right. Here's our last local news story.
Okay.
And this is to our knowledge and theirs, the world's first therapy pig employed by airport.
A therapy pig.
Therapy pig.
Go on.
So you may be familiar if flying out of the airport, TF Green here in Rhode Island. It's actually in Warwick, not Providence, but we won't get into that. Mm-hmm. If you're in your airport and you suffer from flight anxiety, you know they have therapy animals now. You can they kind of just wander the airport. No. They sit down next to you, pick them up, you can pet them.
I just go to the bar.
That's another way of dealing with flight anxiety.
Drink responsibly.
You know, children don't have that option.
This is true. This is true.
People with medical issues or you know, people who are in recovery, they need something to do.
More power to you.
Yeah. And, you know, they're usually therapy dogs and they've got their little blue vest on. But this is the story of the first therapy pig. Wagging her tail happily and spinning around for treats, this pig is in a tutu. Is a resident of the San Francisco Airport, International Airport, and Little Lilu the pig has joined the welcome brigade at San Francisco International Airport, and she is becoming a favorite fixture. The pig is a Juliana breed. It's one of the special creatures who can help soothe customers as they're concerned and await their flight connections. Animals like Lilu wear these blue pet me vests so that people know that they're there as part of the WAG brigade. Christopher Birch is the director of guest experiences. He's been there since its launch in 2013 at SFO. The WAG Brigade has become a favorite amenity at the airport. And here's a little picture Little Lilu with her captain's hat and her tutu.
And is there a reason why her hooves are red?
I imagine it's nail polish, polish. Yeah.
Oh, how cute.
In addition to Lilu, you can look forward to more moments of surprise and delights for guests at the airport with their welcome pig. San Francisco SPCA Animal Assisted Therapy Manager, Dr. Jennifer Henley, said, "We have more than 300 dogs, cats, and rabbit volunteer teams, but Lilu is the first pig in the program."
This is, but how is PETA not all over this?
I don't know. You know, they're not abused. They have a good life,
I guess. Symbiotic. Listen, if I was chilling at an airport and I saw a pig, I guess I'd calm down.
Here's her official photo. We'll put this up on the website.
Oh, for you guys to see. Oh, look, she's got a passport.
Yeah, she's got a passport. She's got a captain's hat.
She's got nicer luggage than I do.
That's true.
Very nice.
Fun fact, pigs are one of my favorite animals, and I actually really want a pig.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah. Elise and I talk about it all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What kind of pig do you want?
Any kind that I can get.
Any kind that you can get. No, but I mean...
I even have a name picked out.
What's going to be the name of the pig?
Nathaniel Bacon. So for short, we'd call him ham bacon. Nathaniel Bacon.
How long have you been thinking about that?
A long time.
Was that what you were always thinking about at your 12 years in Catholic school?
No.
And as always, one of our feature segments at the end of every This Is Happening America podcast, pick from the basket of deplorables.
Mark, who's in our basket of deplorables this week?
This week, it's a ship.
Huh. Do tell.
A ship. A U.S. Secretary of the Navy, Ray Mabus, has a penchant for doling out, well, let's just say he likes to drop unconventional names. Like, you know how they always name ships?
Oh, sure.
Right? Like, you got the USS Washington, the U.S. Battleship Massachusetts, sure, sure. And then all this stuff, right?
The famous B-52 bomber, the Enola Gay.
Yeah, right? Exactly, right? The USS, the Deplorables.
I'm sorry?
Right. So, and you can actually go to the White House website and look this petition up on their petition. You go to petitions.whitehouse.gov. It's up there. It's a petition that suggests that the next major vessel for the U.S. Navy, the strongest Navy in the world, be christened USS the Deplorables. As the petition says, to honor those citizens who rose up to defend America and the Constitution from the globalists. Yeah, that's really going to stick it to them. First of all, I just have one question for you.
Wait, does the petition say, yeah, that's really going to stick it to them? Or did you add that?
No, I just added
okay,
that.
Okay, okay.
But it'd be really funny.
That would be amazing.
It really would be. Here's what's amazing to me. Again, all these deplorables, they just must be math and science people and not English people. Because just think about this for a second. USS
the deplorables.
Like any other time you talk about it, but you talk about a battleship or you talk about a ship, it's always the USS this, the USS that, battleship this. Not
the USS the deplorable.
The US, or just call it the USS deplorables. You know what's deplorable? Your grammar. That's what's deplorable. You know what else is ridiculous? It's the fact that so far, there's over 5,000 people that think this is a good idea have signed the petition.
I'm going and sign the petition because this is amazing. Listeners, go to this petition. And spam this campaign. Let's make this happen.
Seriously.
USS the Deplorables.
It was launched on December 4th, 2016, and 100,000 votes are needed by January 3rd, 2017 to receive an official response from the White House. So,
what fractured reality did I cross into? Like, where in the multiverse am I, Mark?
You're in the multiverse where if mainstream news actually got a hold of this and we had a big social media push on this thing, I guarantee you we could get 100,000 people to think naming a ship in the United States Navy, a ship that could see armed conflict.
The Deplorables.
Could be called the Deplorables.
This is not a Sylvester Stallone action sequel trilogy to the Expendables.
No, this I was is, just gonna say no, that's the Expendables.
This is real.
I would sign a petition for the USS Expendables 2 or 3. But no, that is the pick from the basket.
What's Stephen Colbert doing right now? Let's get him on this. He's really good at spamming these campaigns.
Stephen Colbert?
He's got a treadmill on the International Space Station. He's got a bridge named after him in Denmark.
You know what? I would go for the USS Colbert.
Resurrect the Colbert Nation. Get them on this. I'm guaranteed they can make it happen.
I guarantee you they can make this happen. No, I like seriously. The pick, I could not have this. I can't. First of all, I can't make this up because it's too ridiculous. But I could not honestly think of a better pick from the basket of deplorables than the USS the Deplorables.
Oh my goodness! I just don't know anymore.
We live times. They are a changing. We live in an ever
it's a brave new world.
It is a brave new. It's a new world that we're all going to have to be a little braver in.
That is true.
Justin, you got anything to plug?
Yeah, I do actually. January 26th, I'll be traveling north to New Hampshire and I'll be playing a gig at Woodstock Inn and Brewery. Woodstock Station in Lincoln, New Hampshire. Or awesome. Actually, I guess North Woodstock, New Hampshire.
Awesome.
Yeah. So if you're going to be in the area, if you're going to be in Lincoln, Woodstock, New Hampshire, in the Franconia Notch, come on out and I would love to entertain you.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, Justin doesn't just do podcasts. Justin is also a very talented singer-songwriter.
Yeah, oh, thank you, Mark.
Show. Yeah.
Thank you kindly.
And I'm not just saying that because you're my podcast partner. So,
Mark, do you have anything you want to plug this week?
I would love to plug something. Unfortunately, I've worked every day this month so far. And
it's a hardworking man.
Yeah, yeah, woo. Yeah.
Show some respect.
Oh, God, yeah.
I've lost my finger guard.
Oh my goodness. No, I've been hard at work. We are having some serious technical difficulties at this podcast.
It's gone.
That's what I get for making fun of Catholic school. Ugh. But seriously. There it is. Oh,
he's got it. Okay.
I got it with the assist. No, I've got, I've got my website, mark-bettencourt.net. There you'll find my blog, The Court of MVB, which I will hopefully be updating soon, as I have plenty to write about with what's been happening around the country, but just no time to do so. So, but hopefully come the Christmas break, we're going to be fast and furious on the keyboard and putting out a bunch of stuff. So look for that after the Christmas break and around the new year.
Excellent. And we want to thank all of you who are listening and subscribing to the show.
All 28 of you.
All sometimes it goes up to 30, 32, 34.
That's sweet. Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes when you check out the website, it shows that, like, you know, a couple hundred people check it out. Yeah.
So thank you so much, those of you who are listening and checking out what we're doing and what we're putting out there. You can, as always, find us at our website. This is happeningamerica.weebly.com.
Or tweet us. Ask again if you want Justin to ruin a song for you, or if you want me to explain something educational to you. You can always tweet or write us at TIH_America.
Or you can find us at facebook.com/thisishappeningamerica.
Or feel free to email us at thisishappeningamerica@gmail.com. That's episode 4. I'm Mark.
I'm Justin.
Coming to you live somewhere, somehow, some way. In America.
Bangarang.
At this time.